Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My name is Nicola Johnston and my guest today is Dr. Margaret McGregor. Dr. McGregor is the author of the new study, Long-Term Care for Canada's Aging Population, Public, Nonprofit, Private, For-Profit Service Delivery, or Does It Matter?, published by the Institute for Research and Public Policy. Dr. Margaret McGregor is a family physician at the Mid-Main Community Health Centre in Vancouver, BC, and also engages in part-time research. Dr. McGregor is also a clinical associate professor in the Department of Family Practice at UBC. Welcome, Dr. McGregor.
Thank you, Nicola.
So to begin, can you provide us with a portrait of the current state of residential long-term care in Canada?
Yes, well, firstly, by residential long-term care, I'm referring to facilities that provide 24-hour nursing care to the mainly elders in our communities who can't care for themselves anymore due to multiple disabilities. And while very few younger seniors live in such facilities in Canada, it's really less than 1 in 10 of those over 65 years. Among those over 85 years at present, 1 in 3 to 1 in 5 Canadians live in such facilities. So as the baby boomers move into this very old category, 4% of our population by 2041 will be over 85. If we continue to house 1 in 3 to 1 in 5 elders in these facilities, all provinces will need to create more beds. Secondly, except for a small number of high-end private pay facilities, in most provinces, the majority of funding to residential care is public with an income-tested user fee. However, while the funding is public, service delivery is provided by a mix of public, nonprofit, and private for-profit organizations. So governments are challenged to decide how to build more beds and have a range of choices in the delivery models they choose to fund.
So can you tell us then, does it matter whether long-term care is delivered through public, nonprofit, private, or private for-profit means?
Well, yes, it does appear to matter. There's actually quite a bit of evidence, mainly from U.S. research. And many studies have looked at things like bed sores, the rate of using physical restraints on residents, the levels of nurse staffing, the rate of family and resident complaints, and a huge range of other measures of care quality. Now, the majority of these find for better quality in nonprofit and public facilities compared to private for-profit facilities. There's less Canadian research. However, the Canadian research there is generally supports this direction. Although here in BC, we found that only nonprofit facilities that were part of larger groupings or that were attached to a hospital or operated by health authorities did better. So there's clearly more research to be done on what nonprofit models do best and why. But there is no doubt that the evidence supports nonprofit and public delivery models for care in this sector.
And so what do you think are the main challenges for Canada in the future in terms of long-term care?
Well, that's a good question. The first main challenge for Canada is to find ways to support the delivery of these services in the public or nonprofit sector. A second challenge is to ensure sufficient numbers of staff that are properly trained to care for the resident populations. A third challenge is to develop information systems that measure quality. The residents of such facilities are clearly some of the most vulnerable in our society, and figuring out ways to monitor quality is a big challenge. And a final challenge is to devise ways to encourage facility-level policies that support good quality care in this sector. Whether it be in primary care, residential long-term care, or the hospital sector, we're still not very good at scaling up promising practices and discouraging poor practices in the healthcare field.
And so can you tell us a bit about how you reached your conclusions and what those conclusions are? So in other words, a bit about your methodology as well.
Well, my main conclusion, based on reviewing the literature and based on my own research, which for the most part examines secondary administrative data and looks at comparisons between care quality in for-profit, nonprofit, and publicly delivered services. My main conclusion is that I find there's enough evidence to conclude that public funding to private for-profit-owned facilities in this sector is likely to produce inferior quality. Now, this doesn't mean that all for-profit facilities provide inferior care, and it certainly doesn't mean that all nonprofit and public facilities provide superior care. However, the evidence tells us that as a group, private for-profit facilities are likely to have inferior care quality compared to public or nonprofit facilities, and it is therefore wise for public policy to reflect this evidence.
So moving on to public policy then, given these findings, can you summarize your main policy recommendations?
Yes, I can. My first recommendation is that governments need to adopt policies that retain the financing of new residential care beds. If the financing of the new beds is public, then service delivery is also less likely to be contracted to the private for-profit sector. So some strategies for doing this would include the traditional public sector funding that we all know, the creation of nonprofit social insurance schemes, which is being talked about more and more, the raising of capital through government sales of bonds, which I gather Alberta is already beginning to do, providing low-interest loans through government housing programs, such as the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, or Accès Logique Québec, and infrastructural and technical support to nonprofit organizations so that their proposals are competitive in an RFP. A second recommendation would be that we adopt legislated minimum staffing levels and adequate funding to support these minimum levels in residential long-term care. One of the main mechanisms to generate profit in the residential care sector is through the deployment of lower staffing levels. And lower staffing levels, in turn, have been demonstrated to result in inferior care quality. So many jurisdictions in Canada set minimum student-teacher ratios in education, and we have minimum staff-to-child ratios in daycare. And there should be no reason why we can't do similar in the residential long-term care sector. A third recommendation is that the public be given access to information on direct care staffing levels, inspection reports, consumer complaints, and all the other quality indicators in this sector. Although having more information is not a guarantee of quality, allowing the public to access this information might encourage better accountability by both the facilities and government for better care in this population, which, as I said before, is highly vulnerable. And then my final point is that nonprofit and public residential care delivery, adequate staffing, and publicly available information to consumers aren't sufficient on their own. They simply provide the necessary setting in which to begin to realize facility-level policies that support improved care. And such policies include things like forming broader networks of nonprofit facilities, fostering strong team leadership. Quality improvement programs and practice change have been shown to make a big difference. Greater alignment of the hospital and residential care sector, having things like teaching residential long-term care facilities, in other words, supporting closer alliances of academic programs with residential long-term care, and an increased focus on providing high-quality end-of-life care. So it's those policies that are being enabled by supporting a nonprofit public delivery model, adequate staffing, and publicly available information.
Great. Thanks very much for being here with us today, Dr. McGregor.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Dr. Margaret McGregor is the author of the new study, Long-Term Care for Canada's Aging Population, Public, Nonprofit, Private, For-Profit Service Delivery, or Does It Matter?, published by the Institute for Research and Public Policy. The study is available free of charge on our website at www.irpp.org.